الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We resume the tafsir, the explanation of the Noble Quran, and this is under part 30, surah number 91, surah Ash-Shams. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا. Can we have the first verse, or he left, brother Islands? There he is. Can we have the first verse, brother Guidance? Jazakallah khair. وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making an oath by the shams, by the sun. And not only by the sun, but as well as by other things, as we will see. And from that is the brightness of the sun. Is the brightness of the sun. وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is swearing by the Ash-Shams, by the sun and its light. Why? Because of the magnificent verse, the magnificent signs that the creation of Allah exemplifies, and it really testifies for the perfect ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his perfect knowledge as well as perfect mercy. So in this sun, there are so many signs that are not really comprehended by many people. Just imagine when the sun rises, imagine the great saving and then the great production of energy, and that this creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala produces, and the saving that this, you know, on the economical level, how much saving is there from energy for millions of people on earth, and also the warmth that touches the earth from it, which is needed for the production and growth of vegetation and plants and so forth, and only known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that. And also there are many other benefits which one cannot really enumerate. Why? Because many of that or much of that indeed relates to the science of astrology and the science of geology and many other sciences, all of which tells that indeed this is a great sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes an oath by this creation, which is the sun and its brightness. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes another oath by al-qamar. Al-Qamar meaning the moon. So the second oath made is by the moon. And by the moon, إِذَا تَلَاهَا. إِذَا تَلَاهَا, it has two meanings. إِذَا تَلَاهَا, it has two meanings. The first meaning, as it follows it, meaning in movement. As it follows it, meaning follows the sun in movement. And the other is, as it follows in its illumination. As it follows in its illumination. And we know from the rulings of tafsir that when a verse can accommodate two non-opposing meanings, then the verse in this case, you know, can accommodate these two meanings, and therefore we can take by both meanings, since they are non-opposing, non-contradictory. And in this case, it will give a vast coverage to the meaning. And this is a very beneficial rule in tafsir, in the explanation of the Noble Quran. So therefore we say that, as and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making an oath by the moon, as it follows in its movement and or as it follows in its illumination. And we know that the moon gets far away every day from the sun. Gets far away every day from the sun. So in the beginning of the sun, you find the moon close from the direction of the west, close to the sun from the direction of the west. And in the middle of the month, it will be farther away in the direction of the east. MashaAllah, Jazakallah khair, sister Mac Muslima. Naam. So in the middle of the month, you will find it far away, farthest away actually, in the direction of the east, because every day it's delayed, meaning the moon in its movement, or as we said earlier, as it follows it in the illumination. Because when the sun sets, the light of the moon and the illumination of the moon begins to set itself, and especially in the it begins to show up, especially in the second quarter to the end of the third quarter, you will find the light of the moon very clear, the illumination of the moon very, very clear and apparent. So that means that after 7 days, until there is 7 days also from the month, you will find that the illumination and the of the moon is very, very intense. However, in the first week and in the last week, you will find that it is weak. And from this also we know that the illumination of the moon does not really take place except after the disappearance of the brightness of the sun as it is apparent. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now makes an oath by the sun, because it is the sign of the day, because it is the sign of the day, and also by the moon, because it is the sign of the night. So we move now to the verse number 3, وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making an oath by the day, and by the day as it shows up, and also meaning إِذَا جَلَّاهَا, as it shows up the earth. And this is another meaning to that which you have seen there, عليكم السلام ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته, meaning والنهار, the day as it uncovers the earth and makes it really clearly noticed and seen. Why? Because it's a day. It is a day, and in the day things become apparent and seen. Now in the other verse, and the other verse that comes, and inshallah we'll combine all of them in a short while, and the other verse that comes, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَاهَا. Look at the contrast now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making an oath by the day, and then in contrast, the next one is that which contrasts with the day, and that is the night. And by the night, as it يَغْشَاهَا, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَاهَا, as it covers the earth, as it covers the earth, and it will look like a sheet spread upon something, okay, shielding it. And this is very apparent when, if somebody is flying and in an aeroplane, and he comes to a point where he sees the sun setting, and while in the plane you will look and you will find that the earth below you is dark, underneath you is dark, and under this altitude you see the sun setting, however the earth beneath you, upon which the sun is setting, you will find it sawda, dark, as if it is covered by a clock, as if it is covered by a clock, a black clock. This is the meaning of وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَاهَا. And some of the interpretation as well holds as the night conceals it, referring to the sun. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says وَالسَّمَاءِ, another oath by the heavens. عليكم السلام ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. No problem. And this will be verse number 5, وَالسَّمَاءِ وَمَا بَنَاهَا, and by the heaven and him who built it. And in contrast now, look at the, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making an oath by the heaven, and then by what? And by the earth, the heaven, and this is in contrast, there is another oath by the earth and him who spreads it. subhanahu wa ta'ala, who spread it. So the وَالسَّمَاءِ وَمَا بَنَاهَا, and by the heaven, and by the heaven, وَمَا بَنَاهَا, one meaning is that it refers to the sama, to the heaven and its build up, and its build up, because the heaven is lofty, vast and strong. Lofty, vast and strong. And there are so many signs in the heaven as well. And its structure is firm. Its structure is firm and strong. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in another verse. Let's have this verse, please. Chapter 67, verses 3 and 4. Chapter 67, verses 3 and 4. ما ترى في خلق الرحمن من تفاوت فارجع البصر هل ترى من فطور ثم ارجع البصر كرتين ينقلب إليك البصر خاسئا وهو حسير. In Surah Al-Mulk, chapter 67, verse 3 and 4, please. Okay. One who has created the seven heavens, one above another, you can see no fault in the creation of the Most Beneficent. Then look again. Can you see any rifts? Then look again, and yet again, your sight will return to you in a state of humiliation and worn out. All of this really illustrates the magnificence of the heavens. Then the other one, the other verse, Al-Ard, concerning the earth, and the earth, and by the earth, and whom he spread it, and whom he spread it. Meaning that the one subhanahu wa ta'ala who spread the earth, and so it is leveled, so it is leveled, and it is neither too soft nor too rocky. Okay, neither too soft nor too rocky, but it is really fitting to the creatures, fitting to their needs. And this is from the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon his slaves, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this earth leveled as well as soft, and between softness and ruggedness, except for a few places. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears, وَنَفْسٍ, makes an oath by وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا. The next verse, please, from the same surah, Surah Ash-Shams. وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا, chapter 7, and by the nafs. Although here it refers to a single, it came in the singular form, yet what is intended is a general thing, meaning every person. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا سَوَّاهَا, and him who perfected the person in the due proportion. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had perfected each of his creation in accordance with the with that which fits his conditions and his or its status. قال الله تعالى, in another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in according very close to this meaning, الذي أعطى كل شيء خلقه ثم هدى, as in Surah Taha, chapter 20, verse 50. الذي أعطى كل شيء خلقه ثم هدى. O Lord, who gave to each thing its form and nature, and then ثم هدى, then guided it aright. عليكم السلام ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. And guided it aright. Meaning, guiding it aright to achieve its benefits. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has perfected the creation on the fitrah. On the fitrah, which is the purity and which is the tawheed, the ingrained nature in us, in submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in sincerity and in purity. قال الله تعالى, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Ar-Rum, chapter 30, verse 30, فأقم وجهك للدين حنيفا، فأقم وجهك للدين حنيفا، فطرة الله التي فطر الناس عليها. So set your face towards the deen, towards the deen, towards the religion of Tawheed, of pure monotheism, worshipping none but Allah. This is Allah's fitra, this natural inclination of Tawheed with which He has created mankind. Then Allah says, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. And the same in the next verse, verse number 8, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed these, then He showed these persons, He showed them His guidance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started by saying Alhamaha fujuraha, showed them what is wrong for him and what is right for him, for the person or persons, and what is fujur? Fujur in Arabic is that which is opposes piety, so the wrongdoings which stand in opposition to piety. And piety means obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore fujur is disobedience or wrongdoing. And therefore when somebody is called a fajr, this means a person who disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the highest form of disobedience, the highest form of disobedience is kufr. So a fajr could be disobedient to Allah, and his disobedience could be a state of disbelief itself, as we read in Surah Al-Mutaffifin, verse 7, kalla inna kitaba, look, al-fujjar lafi sijjin, truly the record, the writing of the deeds of the fujjar is preserved in sijjin. And here it refers to the kafirs, to the disbelievers. On the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed the right for these persons or for the person which is in accordance with the fitrah, which is in accordance with the ingrained nature. Because disobedience is kharijun an al-fitrah, is something which is away from fitrah, which is away from fitrah, meaning it is not matching the fitrah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may show some people this path, this deviant path. Why? Because of their insistence on deviation, as in Surah As-Saff, verse 5, فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ. So when they turned away, meaning from the path of Allah, Allah turned their hearts away, meaning from the right path. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not inflict injustice upon anyone. Yet, however, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with respect to Him, when He knows, and He knows well, perfection, I mean His knowledge is perfection, that such and such person does not really intend good and insist on the deviation, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns his heart away from guidance. And He subhanahu wa ta'ala knows well these or this type of people or these persons. To Him subhanahu wa ta'ala they are very well known. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 9 and verse 10, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Indeed, the successful one, the one who purifies his own self, mean obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and stays on the path of Tawheed. And أَفْلَحَ means succeed. What does it really imply? meaning attained what is sought. This is the success. Attaining what is sought and what? وَنَجَى مِنَ الْمَرْهُوبِ, and he was, and to be saved from what is frightening. Right? Attaining what is sought and be saved from what is frightening. This is success. So indeed he succeeds who? What? Purifies his own self, obeys and performs all that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders him to do. And in this case he will attain the righteousness and will be saved from the frightening consequences of disobedience in this life and in the hereafter. So the one who purifies himself, من زكاها, meaning purifies oneself. It does not mean the blameworthy purification which is referred to in Surah An-Najm, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns the believers not to purify themselves in one sense. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says there, فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ, in Surah An-Najm verse 32, and don't sanctify yourselves. Okay, you're saying I am such and such and so forth. This is blameworthy. What is meant by purification here, meaning to purify oneself by having it on a course of sincerity and purity from shirk and from the evil consequences of disobedience, so that it continues to be pure. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in contrast, وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا, عَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَبَرَكَاتُهُ, وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. The next verse please, verse number 10, عَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَبَرَكَاتُهُ. And indeed he fails who corrupts his own self, meaning casting himself into destructive means and acts of disobedience. And from this we know that each one of us needs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore needs to invoke him to make him firm and steadfast on obedience in this life and in the hereafter. And therefore we have always to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala steadfastness, beneficial knowledge, righteous deeds. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asserts to us in Surah Al-Baqarah chapter 2 verse 186, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانَ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُ لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. And if my slave asks you concerning me, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, I am verily near, أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانَ, I respond to the invocations of the supplicant when he calls on me, meaning without any mediation, without any intercessor. Okay. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي, so that they may فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي, may obey me and believe in me. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. What will be the consequence of this obedience and believe in Allah? لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ, so that they may be led aright. So this constitutes now the tafsir, the explanation. This concludes the explanation of these 10 verses, the first 10 verses from Surah Ash-Shams, chapter 91 of the Noble Quran. Inshallah ta'ala, we continue tomorrow the next verses, inshallah ta'ala. Now, if there are any questions, we'll take them, inshallah. Fine.